Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 56 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Today, we're going to try something a little bit different. Usually, we do the big intro section, but today, we are already on the phone with our guest. We're going to go ahead and get right into it. First of all, if you're listening to us, hopefully you know about HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. We are the world's greatest collection of training tools for hockey players. So we're talking off-ice training. We've got a great community of NHL, NCAA, and private strength coaches. And hopefully we're providing a lot of value for you on the site. The podcast, this is now episode 56. The podcasts are all free for you to check out. So if you haven't started yet, go ahead and try to catch up. They're pretty digestible, between 20 and 30 minutes. So take a look, and hopefully you enjoy the content there. And keep in mind that we keep our best stuff on the site. We're also on social media. Check out Hockey Strength on Twitter and Facebook. Check out Hockey Strength there. We get a lot of great shares on there and post a lot of great articles. So check it out, and hopefully you'll want to be a part of the community there. So getting to our guest. Today, our guest, I guess I was sparked by an ESPNW article about our guest today. Our guest is Catherine Yates at Boston University. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
So you're in a really cool position here because you are, I would say, first and foremost, a female in a male-dominated area, especially given, you know, what we hear about, you know, science, technology, the STEM professions. You have a really cool job in a STEM profession, which we've heard is kind of lagging for women. But you're in a great spot, and you're at Boston University working directly with the hockey team, so you get to do some super cool things. Tell us a little bit about your role with the Terriers and how you work within the organization there.
Yeah, no, it's definitely really cool. So my role, I am currently serving as the Director of Analytics, which is probably a fancier title than I'm basically the team nerd. So anything that anybody needs, numbers or stats, or I do some video, that kind of thing, I am involved with that. And so it's really neat because I do get to work closely with the team and the coaches. I'm, you know, watching practices, watching games, so sort of getting to see what they're working on and ways that we can sort of evaluate what they're working on the ice. And then I also get to, I work pretty closely with the strength coaches as well, looking at, you know, keeping track of what they're doing off of the ice and sort of finding interesting ways to bridge, you know, how is what's going on off the ice impacting on ice and vice versa. I'm actually, for the summer, I'm home in New York, working with our head strength coach, Ben Prentice, at his gym, and he trains a lot of NHL players and that kind of thing. So sort of getting to see the process at the pro level is really cool also. And we're, you know, thinking up a couple of projects that we can do for his pro guys. It's been really cool.
Oh yeah. And he's got endless toys from what I hear. So,
Oh my God.
a lot to do out there.
A lot of fun. Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of the times we end up talking about, you know, the gathering of data and the analyzing of data using, you know, whether it's heart rate monitors or accelerometers or GPS or whatever system you end up using. It's kind of interesting because you're doing a little bit of both, and I would say you're more on the biomechanics side of it rather than the collecting of data side. You do a little bit of both, but talk about first about your history, your projects in grad school, and then how that's translated to what you're doing now in sort of a biomechanics analysis rather than a physiological analysis.
Yeah, so in undergrad at Brown, I was a bio major and focused on physiology and biotechnology, and I worked in a biomechanics lab doing, we did lacrosse and field hockey. So we did, you know, head impacts. We did, my project specifically was penalty shots in field hockey. Is it, you know, it was a sub-project of an NCAA grant, and so my portion that I was looking at was, you know, is it upper body, is it lower body, are they, you know, rotated, is it more, you know, does the power and the speed in the shot come from, you know, the, are they rotating their arms faster, are they stepping forward with more power, that kind of thing. So I've liked sort of having that background, and also having a background as an athlete, it sort of is nice to, you know, give me an additional context of, you know, and help me think about things from that framework of, you know, what's stuff that's actually going to be interesting and what's stuff that is actually going to work, and is that, you know, is of interest to athletes.
Okay, so how much of what you're doing now calls on that experience and that background? You know, I don't know if you can put percentages on it, but you know, you mentioned that you use a little bit of training data, like a little bit of heart rate monitor data. But a lot of it, it sounds like, is you watching game tape and watching for biomechanical things that they can adjust, or somehow quantifying small differences in the game. How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, it's not as much biomechanical stuff as it'll be. A lot of it is, I try to work, like, one of the things that I'll look at that I find interesting is sort of like, can you tell when a guy's legs start to go, for example, and like, what does that look like? Not necessarily from a biomechanical standpoint, but from like a playing standpoint, you know, like, is it, you know, once he hits, you know, a 45 second shift, is he all of a sudden a huge turnover risk, that kind of thing. And so then that goes back to, you know, to Ben and Kyle, and sort of, you know, oh, we're seeing, you know, that he drops off after, you know, this guy drops off after 35 seconds, this guy drops off after 45 seconds. And so giving, sort of working with them on that, and sort of ways that their training gets reflected on the ice.
I see. Okay, so that's the what you're taking from the strength and conditioning staff. How does your experience, like watching practice and everything, does that just reinforce what you're seeing?
Yeah, it's just sort of, it's for reinforcement, and then also just kind of knowing what they're trying to, you know, I don't want to be telling them, oh, you know, like, well, this is how you're going to get, you know, how you're going to have this be happening. If the coaches, you know, if their goal is for everyone to be taking long shifts or short shifts, you know, just kind of being able to keep track of what everybody is actually trying to do.
I see. So I know you're going to keep some secrets kind of close to your chest, but,
yeah, I can't, yeah, put myself out of the job.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, that totally makes sense, but at the same time, you know, we're super curious to know, you know, are there any other sort of markers that you're looking at, or thresholds, or things? Cause you know, any team that collects data is going to, it can tease out when, like, I know in just talking with Miami, they know at a certain time in a shift, just from video review and that kind of thing. I guess they just pull this straight from video. They know that obviously between 25 and 45 seconds of a shift is when they're most vulnerable. And on the other side of that, they know that in the first 5 to 25 seconds is when they score the most goals, right? So that's, I mean, you're basically just kind of finding.
I think that also is different. I found that's different for each player, though. Interestingly, you know, we've got guys who they'll, you know, hop over the boards and score. And if they, you know, if they've been on the ice for more than, you know, if play has been, they're sort of the run and gun kind of guys. And then we do have guys where, you know, it takes a little bit more time for them to get set up. But I think that that's an interesting thing, too, even just that in itself, the difference in sort of the pattern of sort of the little, you know, how far into the shift guys are scoring sort of definitely does vary by the guy.
Well, yeah, and it depends on the role, too. There's definitely some personalities and some, you know, some character that just lends itself to grinding it out.
Yeah. Exactly. How they're being used, you know, how they're being used by the coach, what their role is. You know, if they're a guy their role is to stand in front of the goalie, then, you know, they're probably not going to score until they've been standing there for a little while. It's not going to be, you know, 10 seconds in.
So are you able to give any kind of feedback within games and things like that of things that you're seeing and, you know, some things that might help the team?
I don't really do during games, but I try to sort of get things turned around as quickly as possible because it's also, you know, we're in a unique situation in college where we, you know, we have two games a week and they're, you know, it's the same team two nights in a row. And then you have, you know, 5 days off. So it's not so much, you know, it's not so much of a steady pace of doing stuff. It's more of a, okay, you know, we've had a couple days to ramp up now. You know, I'm working overnight Friday into Saturday to get the Friday game turned around because we're seeing the same team again in, you know, 18 hours.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking at matchups and everything too then? You're looking at, you know, tendencies of players and how they would match up against tendencies of the other team's players?
Not as much that. I mean, I will put together stuff before, you know, in advance of teams to sort of say, you know, this is the kind of stuff that these guys have been doing, but I tend to, you know, our coaching staff is pretty, you know, Scotty Young just got in the Hall of Fame and everything, which is awesome and exciting. I let them handle that. I think they know what they're doing.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So, well, let's pull it back a little bit then. You know, since this is the Hockey Strength Podcast, talk a little bit about your role in sort of coordinating things with the strength and conditioning department and Ben. And when you said Kyle, did you mean Kyle Puzar?
I didn't, but he does work at practice for this summer.
Yeah.
No, Kyle Check, he was one of Ben's people down here, and now he's up in Boston full-time. So he's got his whole the Ben team is infiltrating.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he was an intern with me also, so I was just wondering,
okay,
he's
cool.
Awesome dude. Anyway, we move on. So yeah, talk about how you're, I guess a liaison between the coaches and players and the strength and conditioning coaches. How do you fit into the team?
Yeah, it's neat. I feel like I'm a department of one, so I sort of get to, you know, another way of thinking, it, you know, you could think of it as being a department of one, or I could think of it as I get to sort of be a part of everything. And it's just sort of, I try to make myself available to whoever needs some sort of, you know, whoever has any sort of an interest in, you know, oh, I wonder what this would look like if we did this, or if we tried to, you know, see if there's a relationship between, you know, these two things, you know, this thing that we're doing off the ice, you know, if it's the heart rate or the body fat or whatever, if there's, you know, I wonder if there's a link between any of these two things. So I just sort of try to make myself available to everybody for whatever they need. And I love doing that. And I love sort of being the, you know, getting to sort of look at all of the fun, like, oh, I wonder if this is, I could do that for hours of like, oh, I wonder if this, you know, these two things are related or these two things are related.
So you are, and I don't think we mentioned this in the beginning, you're actually a mechanical engineer by degree, right?
Yeah, so I have a master's in mechanical engineering from BU.
Okay, so this is the math nerd getting a little exercise, right?
Yeah, trying to exactly. Find different just things. Sort of the on retainer for the events where you have the nerdy questions that you don't want to do the legwork on yourself, and then that's also, you know, another thing of there's also another thing that I do and that I enjoy doing is sort of I have experience in with computer, I guess I don't want to call it CS because I don't know if I ever took any classes in that technically, but, you know, the ability to pull stuff from the internet in large quantities of, you know, data on other guys, that kind of thing. So sort of the stuff that doing the legwork on it manually would be too time intensive and just not worth it. We're able to sort of, with a little bit of computer elbow grease, pull that also, which is interesting, and sort of to get to look at that and share that with the coaches and players.
Yeah, well, there is that. Oh man, I forget what it's. Is it RinkNet or something?
I don't have that. I feel like I think about that, but yeah, that would definitely. Not gonna tell you what I'm pulling from, but it's. There's some stuff out there if you're looking.
Okay. Well, man, I mean, I think, I guess the question is, well, one, do you replace or enhance a video guy with the team?
Enhanced. We have a video guy, Sam Kelly. His cousin was the video guy for the Penguins that they were given, that Sully was given that shout out to about calling their goal back. So he's come from a long line of good video guys. So I work pretty closely with him, and sort of I don't replace him at all. And he, you know, has his own stuff that he does with the coaches, and then I do my own thing. So we sort of work together, but also, you know, have our separate roles.
Okay, cool. And is this something that you see, like, do you see other teams jumping on board with this? I mean, do you think, I'll be honest, I mean, it sounds like, you know, BU is way ahead of things, or they're really experimenting, because, you know, it wasn't too long ago that every team didn't have their own strength coach, and a lot of hockey teams don't even have their own strength coach at the NCAA level. So, you know, there's someone that works with the team, but they don't have designated, you know, hockey only people. So, I mean, you guys have a strength coach and a director of analytics and a video guy and, you know, the full staff. Is this something you see maybe coming aboard a little bit more in NCAA hockey, given the push that technology is making now?
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to start. I think it's also sort of a function of there being more transparency about what NHL teams are doing also, and sort of trying to, you know, follow in that footsteps. And we're trying to, as a league, you know, we're trying to sort of become a really good, legitimate pathway to the NHL. And, you know, I know I mentioned them earlier, but the Penguins, you know, they had, 15 guys who had gone through the college route on their cup team this year. And so trying to sort of establish that, you know, especially we don't get a ton of, you know, trying to pull Canadian kids, that also sort of establishing the NCAA as a legitimate route to, you know, make it to the NHL. I think that we're definitely sort of at the, you know, there was last summer or the summer before, there were people joking on Twitter about, like, calling us the 31st NHL team. And so that's sort of, you know, it's a joke, but it's also, you know, an attitude that I think that as a program we definitely do have. We want to be, you know, we want to be the professional team. We want to be the pro team of the college teams, and sort of be, you know, constantly keeping up with looking at what they're doing in ways that we can, you know, be the best that we, you know, be the best program that we can be.
Cool. Yeah, and, you know, on that, not that you're not happy where you are and excited to do the job for BU, but is this something where, I mean, a lot of strength coaches would tell you that the NHL is not their ultimate goal, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody has different reasons. Would you say that, you know, an NHL job in this capacity is something that would be your, like, dream job, or are you at it right now?
I mean, I think it's definitely, you know, working for a pro team working for an NHL team would definitely be the dream. I'm loving where I'm at right now. And I feel like, again, you know, even for me, this is, you know, the best pathway to get there, because, you know, I'm working for a great coaching staff that's, you know, that's very well known. And I'm working for a team that's, you know, we're getting stuff done and making good reputation for ourselves. And so I think that, you know, it's the same thing for me, is, you know, the goal probably is the NHL, but this is, I think, the best way that I'm going to get there.
Cool. I guess one last question, and I don't know how, I know we're sort of tiptoeing around some things here, but give me an example of, give me an example of something that you've said, you know, brought something up to the coaching staff, or, you know, if we've already talked about, let's use the shift length, because we've already talked about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Is there something where you've sort of teased something out and sort of, like, stopped the presses and let the coaches know about it, and an adjustment's been made to, you know, you talked about that 1%. It might have been the smallest of things.
It wasn't a shift length thing, but we had one kid who, sort of through the midpoint of the season, was just like, and this is not even, I don't even know how they got this fixed, but I sort of tried to be the alerter of it. We had a kid who was just missing the net at a rate that nobody in the NCAA was even approaching, not even defensemen. Like, he, you know, was shooting an incredible amount and just not getting anywhere near the net. and sort of, I had made a joke about that to Albie, our assistant coach. I was like, oh, you know, like, I wonder if anybody misses the net more than he does. And he, like, kind of gave me the look of, like, well, can we find that out?
You should check that out. Yeah.
Yeah, like, can we find that out? And it turned out that it was, you know, it was, there were maybe two or three kids out of 1,300. And so sort of that, I know that the accompanying visual, the accompanying graph of that did get brought up in a meeting with him and the coaches, and sort of they did work on that and it improved drastically. I don't know how they got that to improve. That's, you know, good coaching and, you know, working, work, skill development and good coaching. But I think I like to think of that as I sort of alerted them to that. It was meant to be a joke, but it ended up being pretty like, oh, wow, nobody does miss the net.
Wow. Okay. So that's pretty cool. And a lot of times, you know, knowing is enough to get it changed.
Exactly. It's just sort of, and I try to think, there was they do like the sports analytics conference at MIT every year. And last mm-hmm. year, one of the keynotes that it was either Billy Beane or one of his guys was saying that it's, you know, the better goal is to be the best court stenographer rather than, you know, a subpar editorialist. Like, just tell them what's happening and what has happened. You don't need to, you know, try to explain why or how mm-hmm. or how you're going to fix it. Just, you know, being able to sort of say, hey, this is what's going on is valuable in itself.
Great. Yeah. And I think that's a perfect way to wrap up here and to sum up your role. I think that definitely clarifies a lot of things for people, and you're just pointing out trends.
Yep.
Cool.
Just kind of watching and observing and sort of saying, hey, this is what's going on.
Very cool. Well, it's definitely a unique role, and I think that's why we wanted to have you on and talk it out and see mostly how you're helping our strength coaches out and that kind of stuff. So, Catherine, I really appreciate you.
I love that you guys' website. Does Sean Scan contribute to you guys? He was with us for a season. He's
yeah.
a good guy.
Yeah, just last year, right? Or two seasons
ago?
Yeah.
Last season.
Yeah, so we've got a nice collection of guys that help us out at the NHL and collegiate level. So it's a good mix. I got to get Ben on the phone here one of these days.
That might take a while. He's elusive.
Yeah, might have to wait till winter, but given the hockey crowd. Well, Catherine, I really appreciate it, and keep up the good work there, and let us know if you got anything groundbreaking that you want to share with us, and we'd be all ears definitely to hear about it.
Great, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, guys, that's all we got for episode 56 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Catherine Yates for taking some time to be with us today. We're coming up on the holiday weekend here, so make sure you have a great 4th of July. Be very safe. Until next time, be sure to train smart and check out hockeystrengthandconditioning.com, the world's greatest resource for training hockey players. Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.